live at East River 9 all afternoon. Killer Bees are up next. Joe George, before we came back from break, said that we have some breaking news.
Big breaking news.
Hit us.
The Astros have released Jose Abreu.
Wow.
Jose Abreu is officially no longer a member of the Houston Astros organization.
About effing time.
Wow. I didn't think they'd actually do it.
Especially considering what you heard from, one, Joe Espada yesterday, where he said there's a timetable, but we're not going to share when that timetable is. You also heard today from Dana Brown, literally hours ago on the Astros flagship, we're having conversations. We know he's struggling. There's a human element that people don't realize. At some point, as Joe Espada mentioned, there's a timeline. We'll do what's best for the team. We've given Abreu time to put some things together. Let's evaluate it. And at some point soon, we're up against time and need to get things moving. Continue Dana Brown on the Astros flagship. We're consistently having conversations about making a tough decision. And as you said, Jose Abreu officially donezo with the Houston Astros. Once again, I think I can speak for everybody, it's about effing time.
Man, I really, like, as someone that worked at, you know, the flagship for a while, we knew how those interviews were going to go. And they would give us little nuggets, but they would never tell us information. A lot of times you'd have breaking news come out. Like, they did this to them last week, right, with Javier and Urquidy, or 2 weeks ago. They tell them, oh, we'll have an update soon. And literally within 10 minutes of hanging up the phone with Salisbury, Dana Brown is announcing that Urquidy and Javier are out for the season. But to read those comments and to hear them, because I was listening this morning, I didn't get that vibe, that this was going to happen. It still felt like we were like 2 weeks away from a decision, both from Joe Espada yesterday and from Dana Brown today, that they kept talking about a timeline, soon. Well, soon doesn't typically mean 6 hours later.
When I heard them say there was a timeline, you thought maybe 2 weeks, Joe. I was thinking trade deadline, or maybe best case scenario, all-star break. They've taken way too long to do this, but we were asking for some positive vibes for the Astros going forward today. This is it. I'm going to specifically point at this side of it. We have heard Joe Espada say that John Singleton has to play to be who John Singleton can be. And I'm not acting like Singleton's been great, but Singleton's been better. And he has had some stretches where you've looked at him and you've said, wow, he actually seems to be improving in his time now back with the Astros. This should not keep the Astros from making a move at the trade deadline, but Singleton, both as a hitter and in the field, has played well enough to constantly be playing over Jose Abreu. So that is a good sign. And look, they were getting clowned by everybody to the point where there was an error made by the Sugarland Space Cowboys posting a highlight yesterday of Joey Loperfido, which was deleted. Every Astros fan thought that they were doing what they had done a couple of weeks ago, which was deleting the highlight because everyone felt that they deleted that defensive highlight of Loperfido playing first base entirely because it made Abreu look bad, and therefore it made Jeff Bagwell, Jim Crane look bad. I think the bright side here is that Loperfido, I would assume, is going to be back with the club.
I would think so, too.
In the very near future, which is also good because he was playing too well to be sent down to the minors. So much good comes out of it. Obviously, the Astros have a lot of ground to make up. And maybe this is a wake-up call for some of the guys in the clubhouse who are underperforming. There's finally some actual stakes here. You can't just be fat and happy the rest of the year.
Yeah, look, so Dana Brown said a corresponding move will be announced later today. I agree with you. It will most likely be Joey Loperfido, unless there is something in their back pocket. You know, like, for example, he's not doing much better this year. Dan Vogelbach was just DFA'd by the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, I want to give Jim Crane a little bit of credit here. It's overdue, this releasing, for sure. But they're going to have to pay Jose Abreu $30 million to do this. And I think the reason why it took so long is because Jim Crane didn't want to pay $30 million to a guy that's not going to be on his team.
I'm with you.
But the fact that they finally did it when there's a year and a half plus still left on the deal, like, I give them credit for not waiting until the deadline, for not waiting until the offseason, for getting rid of this charade. Like, we talked about it. We got one more. One more. The season starts today.
I'm with you.
This
I'm
is
with
it.
You.
I think this is it. Jose Abreu is not an Astro anymore. I think the season starts today. Like, this is the last reset you get of this is positive vibes, this is better lineup, this is better organization, this is Joe Espada getting to do what he wants to do with his lineup, and Dana Brown being flexible at the deadline, playing Lo Profito at first, like whatever direction they want to take it. This is their opportunity to say, okay, we're done being shackled by our ownership group and by Jeff Bagwell and being told to play this bum, no offense, Jose Abreu, but bum. And now we can move forward and try to turn this thing around.
No offense, but bum. But I mean, you're right. And this, I think, firmly puts a foot in the keister of every single Houston Astro. Not from the perspective of you might be next, but the fact that this underachieving team has really faced no consequences for their poor play outside of Jose Abreu being sent to Florida to this point this year is truly stunning. I mean, we're almost halfway through the year, you know? And it's about time. Everyone should be happy about this. If you want to weigh in on it, 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in, too. Someone texts in from the 713. Jeff Bagwell should have to pay half of that $30 million. I like that. Some people from the 936 are in agreement with you, Joe. The season starts today. I'm good with it. This is our last reset of the season, though.
Yeah, this is it. You don't get any more after this because the trade deadline is not a reset. It's hopefully an improvement from where you're at, as there's reports that they want to buy and get two starting pitchers this upcoming trade deadline. But this is the season starts today. Like this is it. No more season starts today nonsense. This is the final one. This is the one we've been waiting for. Like that. You have this player who, yes, won an MVP, yes, used to be great, but...
And played well in the playoffs last year for what it's
well
worth.
In the playoffs.
For like, what it's worth.
But, like, they would have been better off with Yuli Gurriel, who's still got, like, a hit... I think still has a hit streak going in the minors. But Jose Abreu being DFA'd by the Astros is just not something that I honestly thought we were going to see. I thought they were going to be stubborn until the very end, and it is over, long overdue. But I still give him credit. Like, I still give him credit for finally pulling the trigger and just getting rid of this guy because he's weighing you down. Like, at the end of the day, he's weighing you down.
From the 713, I haven't been this happy with the Astros all year. Oh, God, that is sad.
I mean, low bar, but yes, agreed.
Texas Tags on ESPN Houston's YouTube channel says, finally someone had the balls to make up for a mistake. Now I want to see who speaks for this on the Astros. Well, I think if we've learned anything about the Astros, they don't want to speak on this. They want the clean break. I mean, the fact that both Joe Espada and Dana Brown over the last 2 days were saying that there was a timeline, I think that they are both, at this point, also relieved because I don't think that this is a Joe Espada or Dana Brown issue at all. I bet that they have been telling Jim Crane, guys, and Jeff Bagwell, and everybody else in the Letterman Jacket Skull and Bone Society, which includes Reggie Jackson and supposedly Craig Biggio.
Yep.
I'm sure they have been saying, please, for the love of God, stop doing this to us. You are tying both of our hands behind our back. We are not Houdini. We can't escape underwater tied up if you are making us play Jose Abreu every night, making us send Joey Lo Profito down to the minor leagues, and not allowing John Singleton to, at the very least, do something that allows him to play at his best, which is not coming off the bench. It's playing every single night.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see, like, what happens next with this team. You know, is Singleton your everyday first baseman? You know, they haven't shown still mass confidence in Lo Profito at first base, but, like, will they dive more into that?
I bet they'll try it now. They have to, don't they?
I think you do.
I really think that the big part of this was the Astros, one, looking at the money, as you said, and not looking to spend all of that money to get rid of a guy that they paid for. I think part of it is, too, like, they didn't want to embarrass Abreu. because they like him. And by all accounts, Abreu's a nice guy and 100%. Seems to be very well liked in the clubhouse. But, you know, sometimes getting rid of a guy that's well liked in the clubhouse is a wake-up call for all the Astros. You want to weigh in on this? We're going to be talking about this the rest of the show. Come out and hang out with us at East River 9. I mean, it feels like it's in kind of bad taste to do celebratory shots over Jose Abreu being old yellered, but if you want to join us for that, we're at East River 9 all afternoon. It's Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Before we go to break, I want to tell you about my friends at LaBerge Lake Charles. The season starts today. Maybe today is the day where I look at that 92.5 win over ticket for the Astros in 2024, and I can look at it with a glimpse of hope that the Astros are going to turn this thing around. I can't wait. We're going to be coming out there June 29th through UFC 303. Obviously, the Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler fight got canceled officially yesterday, but they replaced it with a banger of a championship match. Honestly, I think the UFC card is better for UFC 303 now without McGregor, who to me was like Jose Abreu level washed. In a lot of ways, but LaBerge Lake Charles, it's a great place to go bet on your Texas teams. The vibes are good for the Astros all of a sudden. The vibes are good for the Rockets a little bit here. The vibes are good for the Texans. When you want to bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at LaBerge Lake Charles. 19 betting kiosks, great food inside the sports book, blackjack tables inside the sports book, great property overall. I can't recommend it enough. We'll be out there June 29th. You should be too, and tell them Joe George sent you by.
Big news in Houston. Jose Abreu, Astros first baseman, has been released. I'm very curious to see if the Astros will speak about this before tonight's game against the Detroit Tigers. You got Hunter Brown on the hill, for those who don't know, against the Tigers' ace. They got a very good pitcher on the hill in Tarik Skubal, who's 8-1 on the season with a 1.92 ERA. And I just saw a funny tweet from my friend Mike Meltzer, who tweeted out the following, and I could not agree with it more. Quote, Jeff Bagwell owes the city of Houston an apology for the signing of Jose Abreu. In addition, Jim Crane and or Bagwell should be meeting with the media today. Dana Brown meeting the media is akin to Gary Kubiak discussing the failed signing of Ed Reed. We really want to go back in time to 2013.
Dana Brown will meet with the media at 3 o'clock.
He will.
Yes.
That's not enough.
Yeah, someone that made this decision owes answers.
We all know Dana Brown didn't do this because Dana Brown wasn't here.
Yep.
We all know. Everyone knows. I don't know if the Astros think that the majority of this fan base is dumb and out of touch. No, they're not. I mean, we're about as engaged as it gets. That's why everyone's so angry this year, because there's high expectations that need to be met. And I'm glad they finally pulled the trigger here.
Yeah.
But it's not fair for Dana to speak about this. It's not fair for Joe to speak about this. It's not even fair for Astros teammates to talk about this, who I'm sure are going to be a little bit upset about this. By all accounts, Abreu was a good dude here. He was well-liked in the clubhouse. He was, outside of his play, a total professional. He just wasn't the same player anymore. And we've seen it. Like, sometimes in this sport, your skills leave really, really quickly. So that's why there's a part of me that's a little bit uncomfortable with, like, the celebration of this, you know?
Sure.
This isn't like with Meltzer comparing this to Gary Kubiak speaking about Ed Reed. This isn't like with Ed Reed, where Ed Reed basically told everyone to go, said everything on the Texans as a joke on his way out the door right before he got cut. I think he did in a press conference at a locker talking about how the coaches here are terrible, yada, 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 and then they ended up moving on from him. But, I mean, this is the worst signing
in franchise history.
In Houston, since Ed Reed,
I think. It's probably worse. Maybe because, like, how much money they owe him.
Maybe Osweiler, but Osweiler, at the very least, that was a two-year deal. But with the expectations with Jose Abreu, I mean, with Osweiler, I think, for the most part, unless you were just so high off of, like, Battle Red Kool-Aid,
yeah,
you knew that with Osweiler, who was benched for noodle-armed Peyton Manning, nearly headless Peyton Manning in those playoffs, you knew that Osweiler, there was a chance it wouldn't work out. With Ed Reed, you were signing him after the Ravens had won a Super Bowl, and you were expecting him to be great. With Jose Abreu, the MVP was not that long ago, and you were expecting MVP kind of play from him. At the very least, if he's not going to hit 30 to 40 home runs, you were expecting a guy who was going to be hitting around like 320.
Yeah, the doubles there were there. The production was there. Just the elite pop was gone. Joey Loperfido will not be. We don't know who's going to be called up yet. It will not be Joey Loprafito, he's not eligible to be because he was just sent down. So unless someone's going on the injury list, Joey Loprafito's not able to come up for, I believe it's another like 7 days. Chandler doesn't have that in his tweet here, but it is possible that it's someone outside the 40-man roster because now you have a 40-man roster spot open. As Not Santa tweeted at us, Greg Kessinger, come on down. It's probably going to be Greg Kessinger until Loprafito is eligible to be called up again.
Oh, God.
But that's just the rules of baseball where if you get sent down, you can't come up. It does go to the question of, like, why was Loprafito sent down when Cabbage is playing every single day? It made no logical sense. But Loprafito will be here at some point. Just it won't be today.
I mean, slightly deflating my...
I know.
Balloon of excitement here because this is another byproduct of Astros roster mismanagement. And I get it, there's been injuries and stuff, but I mean, what are you doing? Whatever. Jose Abreu's gone. And as you said, Joe, in the last segment, the season starts now. They're 0-0,
season
baby.
Season starts now.
0-0. It starts today.
0-0 with an 8.5 game deficit in the division, but 0-0. And look, to go back to what Meltzer tweeted and what we're talking about here, I do think that like that they owe answers. Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell owe answers. Jeff Bagwell was on that flight to get Jose Abreu here. Jim Crane was operating as the general manager of this baseball team before they hired Dana Brown when they fired James Cook, because that's what they fired him. Like, they owe the fans an answer of why they did it, what went wrong, what took so long, and put it to me, putting Dana Brown out there instead of yourselves is a cowardice move. It is the decision of the people who make the decision should be forced to talk because they're still here.
You're right. The problem is this happens everywhere. I would like to say this is just exclusive to the Astros, but specifically in baseball, the owners are going to keep away from it. But the problem is everyone is of the opinion. We heard it last week from Keith Law when he was with the Killer Bees, that Jim Crane is running the show. Or Jeff Bagwell and Jim Crane are running the show. Or Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson are running the show. And these guys talk about the back of the effing baseball card, set those on fire right now, instead of talking about the more important stuff. And the more important stuff were that there were numbers, analytics, that were showing that a lot of metrics measuring Abreu's bat speed, power, etc., were trending downwards.
Mm-hmm.
The information was readily available to all of the nerds who are way too online, and yet the Astros chose to ignore this. And I don't think that if Dana Brown was in charge of the Astros, he would have ignored it. I don't think James Click would have ignored it. The problem is, the Astros fell hook, line, and sinker for something a lot of teams do. And we're not talking about great teams. We're talking about mid-teams. The teams that are looking to get a headline or two.
Mm-hmm.
In signing Jose Abreu, a former MVP, it felt like they did something that, I don't know, say in the NFL, like the Washington Redskins used to do, that the Miami Dolphins used to do. We're going to win March like the Houston Texans. We're going to win the offseason with a big name.
Yeah.
And they sort of forgot to double check, a la the Texans forgetting to check if Ed Reed had a hip.
To make sure that they're good players. Text here says, I'm not happy that someone lost their job, but I did do a fist pump. Okay, here's the thing from the 2A1 here. I think you're a good person. But here's the thing.
You can do an under-the-table fist bump.
He got a $30 million severance check, okay?
Oh,
he's all right.
Happy trails.
Like,
sort of like with David Culley.
He's not an average Joe.
And with Lovie Smith.
Yes.
Oh, no, they got fired. I mean, I would rather be a fired head coach than an employed NFL head coach. No offense.
100%.
I would try to get a job so I can continue to get the paycheck.
He got a $30 million job to not hear people dogging him every single day.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the other part of it, too.
I agree with you. It sucks when people lose their jobs, but he's not an average person. He's not, you know, a 4A kind of baseball player. He's getting a fat paycheck on the way out.
From the 832, the Astros have only made me cry of happiness two times. The first World Series in this news. Not the second World Series? Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah. It's, man, I just didn't have this on my bingo card for today's show. I really like, look, just rereading some of these Dana Brown quotes from this morning, talking about the timeline, decisions have to be made. They obviously knew then that they were going to, but it's a good day for the Astros in terms of the fact that they are trying to get better. That in a season in which you are struggling, your team has not been good, you no longer have to put a player out there that is consistently damaging to you. Like this is a very positive thing for the Astros. And if there's going to be a turnaround, you hope it's today. I mean, think about the Astros. Like, their best stretch of the season came when Abreu was not on the team. It's when they were in Florida, when he was in Florida. Like, that's when they played their best baseball of 2024. So it's not like it's a guarantee that things suddenly get better. But if they were, it starts today with a move like this.
I'm very curious how we all look. I know for a fact I was pumped about the Abreu signing. A texter rightfully says, from the 832, everyone on this radio station was a fan of the Jose Abreu signing. Yeah, guilty. Guilty. He's a former MVP. But I'm a baseball dummy. Your game confuses me. I'm just a football guy, you know? If they sign an ex-MVP, I'm thinking to myself, oh, they did their due diligence. And that's the problem. I think we all assume that they did their due diligence, and they clearly did not.
Look, here's the thing, okay? We can like a move and it go a disaster, and that's okay. Like, let's see.
We would optimally not want that to happen.
Little Twitter search here from November 14th, 2022, at Joe George Radio.
Ooh.
I'm very pro Jose Abreu because it would be a shorter deal, but Rizzo is one of my favorite baseball players ever. He would be a great fit for the Astros. So I was pro Abreu. It's okay to be wrong. I'm not the one giving them $30 million to be wrong, though. They are. You can like a move at a time, and it blows up in your face. That's what this job is. Everyone liked the Jose Abreu signing. Yes. Did anyone think it was going to be this bad, even that didn't like it?
Especially this
quickly.
I think, and I'm not defending myself. I was wrong. But I'm also not somebody who's like, oh, my job ability depends on whether or not I'm right on takes. No, I'm an effing star. I am a peacock. You got to let me fly. The thing is with this, it's all about the Astros' lack of due diligence here. Because I think for every single baseball casual out there, I mean, we're not the ones that are going up to Jose Abreu and watching him swing. We're not Jeff Bagwell going to West Palm Beach and watching him and somehow being convinced that things are going to be better when he comes back to the majors. Well, no, that's not the case at all. So 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. We're going to keep this on the table the rest of the show. We're not going to talk about football. We're not going to do a countdown to the start of the NFL season next. This is here all night long. All night long. Jose Abreu's gone, and the Astros season has officially reset. At ESPN Houston on YouTube, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Jose Abreu released. We are live at East River 9. Stick around. Big news today for the Houston Astros. They have released struggling first baseman Jose Abreu. You want to weigh in on it? You can. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on YouTube as well. YouTube.com/ESPN Houston. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. From Mac on YouTube. Nobody expected him to be this bad. Trending downward when signed? Sure. So considered a bad signing? Yes. Especially given the money. But falling off a cliff like this, nobody saw it coming. Yeah, he was so bad. I mean, I get it, the back of the baseball card. But this is just going to be something else. When somebody gets a Jose Abreu baseball card 10 years from now, he's got his entire career on it, to go from where he was in 2020, which may be a Mickey Mouse MVP season, 2021, to here, where he signs with the defending World Series champions, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the. I also would like to say we have to officially retire back of the baseball card. I would ask the Houston Astros, because now it's no longer an excuse for
if
anything.
If they haven't already, yes.
Yeah, but think, like, Jose Abreu in 2021, 2022, he hit .261 and .304. He had 117 RBIs in 2021. 75 RBIs, but his batting average was, that was the year it was 40 points higher. So his RBIs went down, his home runs were cut in half from 21 to 22. But like you look at the average, the OBP is up, the OPS is right around the same. Like for the most part, he's virtually the same player. It shows he focused on contact more than power, or at least that's what the raw numbers look like. He had 33 less strikeouts in 2022 versus 2021. And then he comes to Houston, and he hits 237 last year. He's hitting 124 as he gets cut from the Astros.
You know, honestly, I thought it was lower than that, so.
Yeah. He got it up.
Hell yeah,
I mean, it was 087 going into when he got sent to Florida.
When he got sent to Florida.
So he almost doubled it coming back.
A lot of people are sharing our sentiment on the text line about, you feel for him to a degree, but I would take that money. From the 832, I feel for the guy, but I take his place in life, no questions asked. Oh, yeah. Fantastic, baby.
And honestly, like, there's a text who's like, well, he might not be able to play baseball anymore. Don't be surprised if he's a White Sox by tomorrow. Don't be surprised. They ain't got much to live for the White Sox. But this is like Jerry Reinsdorf 101. Bring him back.
Man. And you got Maldonado and Abreu battling for who can stay sub 100.
I mean, look, they are the Chicago Astros. They can roll a lineup out with Corey Lee, Martin Maldonado, Jose Abreu, and Corey Jolks. Like, might as well just go all the way if you're the White Sox. But, yeah, his baseball career might be over, but, look, it is – this was the right move. There was never any consideration to keeping him. And I wish that the, you know, Crane and them would talk. I'm curious what Dana Brown has to say when he meets with the media at 3 o'clock about the timeline stuff. Like, I would use the quotes that he gave this morning and just be like, I'm confused by this timeline and how it's gone from that. Because they talked about the timeline early on, too.
You certainly could do it. I'll just tell people this all the time. You're going to get lied to by these guys no matter what. Because they're not the ones that are making the decisions, first off. I mean, they're speaking for somebody else's decision-making, specifically here, where the Astros are clearly being run by Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell. Everyone believes it at the very least, and there's nothing that they've done to make us think otherwise. So they get put in this unfortunate spot where they have to speak for things. But also sometimes you're just going to get outright lied to. I'll talk to a time. We used to do a Pete Carroll daily weekly show when I was up in Seattle. And I remember asking Pete Carroll if they were going to move on from offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer. No, we're sticking with Schottie. They fired him 6 hours later.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff happens a lot. So I'm not going to get mad about that side of it.
For sure.
But you're definitely right to ask, like, okay, well, what expedited the timeline? And the problem is, Dana, who is very political when he's in front of the podium, is probably not going to throw Jeff Bagwell or Jim Crane or anyone else that seems to be telling him what to do under the bus.
It's more likely that they would just bus drive Jose Abreu in that moment. Where they just...
What do you mean by bus drive?
Just reverse. Put the blinkers on. Just kind of reverse back over him.
Are you a bus drive familiarity? Or are you a licensed bus driver?
No, just saying, like, you know, like he's gonna, you know, they're gonna run him over.
Oh, okay. No, I was a little confused by that. I was like, wait a second, are you talking, is this bus driving lingo?
They're gonna drive forward and drive back over the corpse of Jose Abreu.
That's
probably what they're gonna do.
That's
like
a crime.
Like they're gonna talk about Jose Abreu and that they gave him a shot to come back and then he failed to get better. And that is the truth too. Like as much as this is on Crane and Bagwell, the player is the one that fell off, and they gave him every opportunity. I mean, he was good for you in the postseason. He had 90 RBIs last year. If he could have just been who he was last year, it's still an all-time bad contract, but at least it's you can swallow that. Like this one, you can't.
No, you can't. From the 713, comes down to talent assessment, which it's clear Jeff Bagwell should never be a part of again. Do you think he will be a part of roster management again? This should be the line in the sand. It should be, but will it be? I think if
because it is more than this, it's Brantley.
Yep,
it's Montero.
Yep,
like
that was such a bad offseason.
And Hader.
Hader's is not looking great.
Like at one point he had like 16 out of 32 strikeouts. You're not winning enough games or leading enough games in the ninth inning to really see what you have. It's a 5-year, $95 million contract.
Ugh.
It honestly, it could age just like this one. Like, it might take 2 years to get there, but we could wake up one day where you can't put him in the baseball game. So, the answer should be easy, Paul. It should be the easiest answer of all time. No. Jeff Bagwell has no say in this organization. Killer Bees are right. They should change the name of their show to disassociate themselves with what he has done to this franchise.
Yeah.
I support this.
I don't know, though, because I like that, you know, because the Killer Bees are the Angry Bees.
Well, I think we should change to the Angry
Jeff
Bees.
Jeff Bagwell makes us angry.
Oh, that's good.
You know, it's something just to remind you constantly is that Jeff Bagwell's playoff struggles and his roster management, not the best.
Not great.
Lots
great,
of other
Bob.
Good memories. Keith on YouTube says, thank you, Paul. Talking about last segment where we were saying, like, look, no one expected this to go this poorly. I wanted Snell and Montgomery, too. More times than not, these moves do not work out.
Fact. They don't. I mean, look, like, to go back to when this happened, Rizzo's not playing right now, or got benched recently for the Yankees. He's not doing well. Like there are a lot of times when you spend big money in baseball and free agency, it doesn't go well. That's why you're seeing guys like Montgomery and Snell and Bellinger not be on teams in spring training.
Yeah.
Because unless you're a superstar, teams don't want to pay you because they're aging terribly. Even like the Giancarlo Stanton contract, like he doesn't play enough for it to be a good deal. I know the Yankees didn't give it to him, but more in baseball than any other sport, I feel like you'll really see an issue with big contracts. Something called a Cooper Hummel, who's a first base outfield catcher, is the one being called up to the Astros per Ari Alexander.
Okay.
I can't say I'm familiar with Cooper Hummel's game.
I've never heard of him before.
I have not either. But he is who?
He is not Joey Loperfido.
Yeah. And Loperfido, once again, he's not allowed to come up. He is ineligible.
I get that.
To come up. But
and that's their own fault.
It is 100% their own
fault.
They
screwed that one up.
Yeah.
But,
so
hey,
that's who is at least temporarily going to be on the Astros.
You know, just like they play 745 with John and Lance. You live, you learn, you live, and learn. You know,
Cooper Hummel is hitting 301 in the minors this year. 7 home runs, 8 stolen bases.
Okay.
31 RBIs.
I mean, Loperfido was doing pretty well at the minor league level, so maybe there isn't that big quadruple-A gap between where Astros minor leaguers are stats-wise and the actual majors, how they'll do up there. From the 832, this is a very empathetic text. Shout out to you, sir. You are a better man than all of us. To be completely honest, I feel bad for the guy. What a fall from grace. Teams always do this, though, and the player gets paid, but he has trouble living up to a deal, and it ruins them. Ryan Anderson, oh, man, we're just going all Houston references, huh? Brock Osweiler, Rafael Montero, Ben Simmons as well, just to name a few. He has been bad, though, but I have a few questions. Is there any benefit to cutting him? If we had just sent him to the minors for as long as it takes for him to get back into game shape, wouldn't we at least have a backup if injuries hit? Last year, by cutting, we clear up a spot, but that doesn't matter if he's in the minors, right? Not that anyone would pick him up waivers, but if they did, it's not like football, where they're on the hook for the rest of the deal, right? I'm guessing that they thought to themselves, if we put him in the minors, he is also potentially taking away valuable playing time and experience in a system where we are missing a lot of guys. Really, the only move was to send him to West Palm Beach again. Would he have agreed to that? Maybe they suggested it.
Yeah.
But there was nothing that was going to happen that was going to make Jose Abreu hit better against major leaguers or field better against major leaguers. Sending him to West Palm Beach was one of the biggest Hail Mary attempts that we have seen this organization make. They knew that their pants were covered in doo-doo, and they came out saying, yeah, it's a new style. It's derelict. It's earthy. I found this in a trash can. We're all trying to be frugal and one with nature, you know? And ultimately, you're looking at them, they're like, no, sir, you're wearing poo on your pants.
Yeah.
They tried, and obviously it failed.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they had this conversation, but even then, like, at some point, you know the end result. Like you know it, and that's why I think the timeline conversation is more about when was Jim Crane finally going to be able to be willing to cut bait. You know, if you look at the Astros, like they openly talked about how if Jose Abreu was going to play, be here, he's got to play to see if he fixed it. And then, like, 2 days later, Dana Brown said, well, John Singleton's probably our everyday guy. They're taking him out in clutch situations still. They're trying to play him. Like, they did everything they could. They put every card on the table that Dana Brown and Joe Espada have to try to get this guy to turn it around. The question was, and all it really was, is when is and what does it take for Jim Crane to eat $30 million? That's what the timeline was. Was how long and how bad does it have to be before we get to that point?
And we did get to that point. You said earlier, a little bit of credit is due, I guess. I say I guess at the end because it just felt like they were so damn stubborn about admitting that, like in the story of the Emperor's New Clothes, they were naked. Suppose it would be better to be naked than wearing poop-covered pants, I think. Assuming you're packing.
Yeah, I mean, you're packing, you're good to go.
You gotta, you know.
Yeah, I mean, plus, I don't know, poop's gonna smell.
Leg.
Poop's gonna smell.
Poop will smell.
I'd rather be naked than in poop.
It's just like natural. Speaking of potty training, how's that going?
Not
better
great.
Than Jose Abreu back in the majors?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Can't cut him, though.
Okay. You cannot cut a child. That is true. That's illegal. There are rules against that. 713-780-3776 is how you call him. It's how you text him. I know we got new people tuning in. In case you missed it, Jose Abreu has officially been released by the Houston Astros. We're going to keep this on the table the rest of the show. There might be some other topics that happen, but the question I have for you guys right now, the biggest fall guy of all fall guys, he gone in Jose Abreu. You've done this twice now. You sent him to West Palm Beach. Now he's just outright gone. Who is next? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. At Gallant says, that's Joe George Radio. Sean Mapes has gone. My bad. That is just natural habit coming in here. Twitch.tv/ESPN975 at ESPN Houston on YouTube. Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. See what I'm wearing right now? Damn, I look hot. I mean, I got these little green short shorts on. Got a Celtics Pride gray t-shirt, matching gray socks, green watch, 3 beads as if I have shown my breasts to somebody that are green colored. I am ready for tonight's NBA Finals game number 4 with my favorite basketball team up 3-0 on the hated, evil Dallas Mavericks. Boston is a 1-point favorite at MyBookie.ag. I mean, as much as I want to say Boston's going to get it done tonight, maybe I should hedge here. Maybe I should take Dallas to win. They really going to get swept in the NBA Finals? Is Boston really going to go undefeated on the road throughout these playoffs? You can bet on that and so many other things at mybookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. You're going to get a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 right away. And you can play with it. You can bet on poker. Do a little blackjack. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. You can also bet on tonight's Houston Astros game with the Houston Astros taking on the Detroit Tigers. 0-0 on the season officially per Joe George. Going forward in tonight's game, you've got Hunter Brown on the hill against the Detroit Tigers ace. That kind of bodes poorly, but the Astros are somehow, some way, with Hunter Brown on the hill, 1.5-run favorites. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 to bet on that and so many other things. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag. Jose Abreu released by the Houston Astros today. About time. But who's next? Who's the next fall guy for the Astros if this second, third season reset, Joe? I don't know where we're
fourth?
At. We know it's the last one.
It's the last one.
We're not allowing a season reset for the Astros going forward, but they were 31-38. They're now 0-0. The season, it's their sandbox, baby.
Begins today.
Starts now.
Who's the next fall guy? John Singleton.
Singleton, man. So that means that they would get somebody at the trade deadline?
I think it means Loperfido's not playing every day.
You think Loperfido might get that kind of a boost?
I don't know. I mean,
that would be interesting. I'd try it.
At least from the fans' perspective, right? Like, now that Abreu's gone, Loperfido is still kind of the apple of the eye of Astros fans right now. And that, like,
the
what
young,
he's done,
hot thing.
Yeah, like what he did, what he's done in the minors, what he's done you know, in the majors in his short stint, some of the defensive highlights we've seen from him at first base have been great. If Loperfido doesn't start playing every day or often, and Singleton is kind of what he's been, I think that's where the ire will go next for Astros fans, is that Singleton of why is he playing instead of Joey Loperfido.
I think that's a fair one. I feel like most people are going to focus, as Pinche says, on Espada. He wrote on our Twitch, next one to get the boot should be Espada. Double digits behind, and they're going to move on from him. They're not that far away. They're 8 games out in the AL West. They're 6 games out in the wild card. That latter part is more concerning to me, because I feel like the AL West is a bit of a dreg when it comes to the divisions, or is it the dregs? Whatever. You get what I'm trying to say here. The wild card race, I mean, Baltimore or New York has one of them. They are both on pace for 100 wins.
Yeah.
So you really only have one spot that you're vying for. And, I mean, I suppose you could say to yourself, well, the Royals or the Guardians, one of these teams in the AL Central is going to cool off. But, I mean, you got so much ground to make up on. The other problem is, too, they did yourself no favors with these series against the Mariners where you just couldn't score. The Mariners have good pitching, obviously, but you shouldn't be 2-5 against Seattle on the year, which is what you are right now.
No, and yeah, the wild card's definitely it depends on how much they beat up on each other. You know, these teams, like what would be best for the Astros, honestly, if they want a wild card, is if the Royals and the Guardians start to just dominate the Twins.
Yeah.
The Twins, who are the third wild card spot right now, they're 37-32 on the season. They debuted their new Prince home run celebration with Carlos Correa yesterday.
Did you see it?
I did, yeah.
I read about it.
There was like an outfit that he like walked into. Like it was like a jacket. It's so like the front of the jacket.
Oh, so they got like a purple jacket in the clubhouse or something?
Yeah, and then like a blow-up guitar.
Oh, that's fun.
It's actually kind of fun.
I like that. That's better than the clearly racially insensitive giant samurai helmet that the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim did.
Yeah, so I could see, like, that's kind of what you need, is you need one of those teams, or I guess the Twins, the Royals, or the Guardians, to really start to fall apart. Everyone else in the American League right now, Boston's the next team at 34-34. Right now, like, that's you can catch them, for sure. Like you can catch Boston. You can get back to 500. Everyone else is below 500 besides that. So it's not insane to say that the Astros can still be a wild card team or win the division this year. But they got a lot of work to do.
Yep.
Like, it's going to be tough.
More comments. Who's next now that Jose Abreu, he gone on our, I don't know if this is YouTube or Twitch. I think this is on Twitch. Trade Ryan Stresley, please. The more I think about it, because this is something that's been just percolating my brain over the last 10 to 15, thinking about who would be next. This makes the most sense because while he has had bad luck this year, his numbers are not great. You don't trust him that much. And also, theoretically, I don't really buy that he's going to get you that much, but theoretically, he is somebody that can get you maybe a veteran in return. Could he be part of a package for a Pete Alonso? Could he be part of a package for a Paul Goldschmidt? I don't know, because those two teams aren't really contending at this moment in time. But Presley does seem like a likely one. It would just be more of a trade. They're not going to DFA him. But I definitely think that they look at the amount of appearances that he has left. I mean, if he gets to 50 appearances this year, then his second-year option, the last year of his contract, picks up. And, I mean, $15 million. You want to pay $15 million for him?
Nope.
In addition to $11.5 for Rafael Montero next year? I mean, already you got so many guys. I saw Sean Pendergast put together an article in the Houston Press where Jim Crane's paid like $100-plus million. If you take a look at the timelines for with prorated salaries, if you do the math, for Astros pitchers who have been on the injured reserve, essentially.
I wonder if – do you think the outing, the closing situation the other night from Presley, like that's enough for a team to say we still want to take a flyer on that guy?
It's a start, but I need more.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a ballsy move by Espada, even if they did not have the ability to use Hader that night, and that's what he said. Because, I mean, you're trying to stop this awful stretch where your bullpen had blown multiple two-run leads in multiple days. So I think part of it was to give him confidence But, yeah, you need more. I mean, I you can tell me all about the bad luck all you want, but I'm sorry. My simple baseball mind is just going to look at the ERA. You've got a 5-point-something ERA. I don't trust you. And I already have had some moments with Presley where I know he's not the Ryan Presley of old, and because I know he's not the Ryan Presley of old, I don't assume he's an automatic 1-2-3 inning creator. And I also, more importantly, don't want that the Johnny Cash song playing with the candles going on when he comes into the ballpark.
That definitely needs to go away.
Yeah, I don't want that.
So Presley, Singleton. See, Bregman's been much better of late. I know he was the easy answer, I think it was, when we did this, when Abreu got sent to Florida. I mean, it probably is a Espada, too. The text line suggests Espada and Dana Brown.
Yep.
As just the next fall guys.
Brown, I don't see that happening. I mean, if you're firing Dana Brown, you're a giant a-hole. I mean, if you really think that this season is Dana Brown's fault. Dana Brown annoys me, but does give us all sorts of content with the things that he says. But what has Dana Brown done that has hurt the Astros to this point? He is doing exactly what the people above him want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they I thought, wanted somebody who was going to push back on them. But I guess what they really wanted was somebody who wasn't going to bring up analytics when pushing back on them or whatever.
Yeah, I think Espada's probably also at the top of that list instead of Dana Brown. As long as Dana Brown wants to be here, who knows if he wants this job anymore, to be honest. Like, this job is not probably what he thought it was going to be. We've all done that. Everyone's taken jobs, and then they promise you all these great things in an interview, and then you walk in, and you're like, this is not what we talked about. That's what Dana Brown's dealing with. He was told he was going to be the general manager of a baseball team. He's not. He's a yes man that's forced to stand in public and take spears from the media.
Oh, spears.
Like,
you ever speared anything before?
I've thrown an axe.
You've thrown an axe. I've done that, too.
The axe throwing's pretty sweet.
I went on a date with a girl who was way out of my league. I couldn't believe she was interested in me. She used to play tennis in college, and she was destroying me in the axe throwing competition. And I was like,
Is that a good thing or a bad thing when you're on the date?
As a competitive person, which Lance talked about yesterday, apparently I would win the hot dog eating competition at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I don't know if I would partake in it because I, you know, summer bod goals and such.
Yeah.
But I was competitive and I was mad because my axes kept on bouncing off of the thing. I was throwing them harder. They were just bouncing off. Mm. And she was sticking it every single time.
Because she was more accurate.
That's what she said. Yeah, she was more accurate with it. Because you have to hit it in a specific way. I've always wanted to chuck a spear.
Me too. Like, that'd be sweet.
I want to see how far I can throw it, number one. So I guess that would be like the javelin throw.
Yeah.
But number two, one of my buddies has actually gone out hunting boars and killed one with a spear.
Like a spear gun?
No.
Like a hand spear?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean.
Can we go hang out with this guy?
Yeah.
Vacation time approved.
He might have to be the one who is doing the handling of said spear, but yeah, he killed a boar with a spear. Like, he stabbed it.
Oh, man.
Now, I really wanted to know how that went down. Like, was it getting held down or something like that? Like,
I hope. I'm going to pretend like it wasn't.
Like the king in season one of House of the Dragon where he gives him the spear and he's, like, bad at killing it.
Oh, vibes are so good right now. House of Dragon's back.
House of Dragon's back.
The boys are back.
I watched an episode and a half of The Boys last
night. I have not watched anything last night.
And
I'll watch it all tomorrow.
Bear Kingstown's back. Jose Abreu's gone.
And he's gone. Vibes are good.
Vibes be good, bro. It is Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are out at East River 9. Let's go get drunk and throw spears, huh? Huh? No, I'm just kidding. We won't do that. That's irresponsible. But we will be here all afternoon. And if you want to weigh in on Jose Abreu, that's all we're talking about the rest of today's show. I know some people are just getting in their car. Jose Abreu, released by the Houston Astros. You have thoughts on it? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Stick around, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.